Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us today. You know, we know that America and the world right now is undergoing something that, for lack of a better word, will change America forever. And you've heard me say before that just like Pearl Harbor changed America, and life was never the same after that, just like 9/11 changed America, life was never the same after that, this virus that has basically shut down the world, not just America, is going to forever change everything about what we do. And talk is about, you know, going back to normal. But folks, based upon past experience, that is never going to happen. There is not going to be a normal to go back to. So what should we do? How will America change? Has any of this been predicted? Could anyone see this coming? What does the Bible have to say about this? Well, for the answers to these questions and more, my guest, Pastor Rob Winters of the Prepare the Way Church in Phoenix, Arizona, is here to share with us some important insights to what is actually happening in America right now. Pastor Winters' ministry is focused on preaching repentance and revival as well as equipping the saints. You know, Pastor Rob has been preaching since 1989 and ministers as an itinerant prophet for 20 years, 1996 through 2015. He led the Gatekeepers International Prophetic Network from 2003 to 2008. Praise God. And most importantly, most recently, he and his lovely wife, Kay, planted Prepare the Way International Church in Phoenix, Arizona back in January of 2016. Pastor Rob has earned a Master of Biblical Studies degree from Christian International School of Theology and a Doctor of Ministry degree in Discipleship from Primus University of Theology. He's also authored 6 published books, including the one we'll be discussing today that is so relevant to what is happening in the world, titled Prepare America, Hope for a Nation in Crisis. This is the 3rd revised and expanded edition of this book, and I'm looking forward to getting into this discussion. Help me welcome to the program, Pastor Rob Winters. Pastor, thank you for taking the time to come on the program today.
Thank you so much, Robert. It's my privilege to be online today with you.
Amen. Now, Pastor, the first question I always ask is this. Other than that short information that I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Pastor Rob Winters?
Well, that's an interesting question. You did read quite a bit of my bio, but I was actually raised Catholic, and wow. and so when I got introduced to the Holy Spirit in 1986, I had actually received a prophetic word during that prophecy that basically was quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3-5. Where it says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked way shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth." It goes on to say, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And so I received that prophecy back on June 29th of 1986.
Wow.
And I was actually living in Newport News, Virginia at the time.
Oh, wow.
So I was pretty far from, any kind of desert or wilderness. And but little did I realize that the Lord would be moving me and my wife out here in 1996 to Phoenix, Arizona, to literally a wilderness, a desert. And so over the years, the Lord has called me to preach repentance, to prepare the way of the Lord, similar to John the Baptist. And so I've been heralding messages of repentance since I've been preaching. But it's interesting to note that a lot of times that the Lord's revealed his ways to me, but a lot of times I feel like I've delivered messages and kind of out of season, kind of before they've happened. And in fact, yeah. The book that I've re-released, I wrote in 2012, which is 8 years ago. And, wow. pretty much had fallen on deaf ears, but I believe we're coming into our such a time as this. And so I've re-released this book to, you know, because I believe it's time. It's time for America to hear these messages. So,
yeah, amen. You mentioned Newport News in January of 86. I was stationed at Fort Eustis, Virginia from 84 to 86 as a drill sergeant there.
And,
I left there in February of 86. Were you in the military over there? Or
no, I actually, it was my first job out of college. I worked at the Newport News Naval Shipyard overhauling submarines. I worked for Sperry, okay. You know, Shipboard and Ground Systems Group there. And so I was stationed there first, my first job out of college, while working on overhauling submarines in the navigation center.
Yeah, a small world though. Amen.
Yeah,
I was stationed there. I did 12 years in the Army, and my first 9, I was enlisted, and I was a drill sergeant at Fort Bliss, Texas. And they opened up the drill sergeant program at Fort Eustis, Virginia, in October of 84, and I was one of, you know, just a handful that got selected to go there and start that program, and then. I left there in February of 86 and went to officer candidate school and got my commission. But yeah, when you said January 86, I'm running those dates in my mind. I say, hey, I was there at that time. <You know? laughs> Small world. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So before we get into the book, I want to get a little bit of background. You said you start off Kelly. I started as Lutheran. I mean, not completely Kelly, but a lot of the same traditions and things like that. When did you realize you had a prophetic call on your life?
Well, you know, what was kind of interesting is I had graduated in May of 86, and it's funny how the Lord just does things. So I'd, you know, been serving the Lord as a Catholic, and my uncle had sent me a book for a graduation present, and he wasn't even saved. The book was called The Key to Charismatic Renewal in the Catholic Church. It was written by a Catholic priest. And so while I was waiting at home about a month before I went to my new, you know, job right out of college, I read this book, and it talked about speaking in tongues and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, I don't know anybody who does that. And so when I arrived in Newport News, the apartment manager happened to be spirit-filled. And make a long story short, she took me to the Assemblies of God Church there in Hampton, Virginia, Bethel Temple Assembly of God. And that weekend, the weekend I arrived there, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and received this prophecy out of Isaiah 40, verse 3 through 5. And so I was there about a year, and then they moved me. My job moved me to Charleston, South Carolina, to the Charleston Naval Shipyard there, where I got involved in a church, Abundant Life Church there in Charleston, and the pastor there noticed I had was bent towards the prophetic. And so he said, you know, you need to pray about going to a Bible college, Christian International, which Dr. Bill Hammond, of course, he was like the father of the prophetic movement. He headed up that Bible college. So that's how I got introduced into the prophetic. And then I went down to the International School of Prophets down there at Santa Rosa Beach received an impartation. And then that's kind of how I got introduced into the prophetic.
Amen. Amen. And how has that shaped your ministry over the years? You know, being exposed to that type of training and experiences, and how is that impacting what you're doing right now?
Well, you know, for the last... most of my Christian ministry, I've been in the prophetic. I, started off with congregational prophecies and whatnot. And then I think it was probably around 1991 or two, I think my 1992, I was on, sent to Fort Worth, Texas to, on my job for a particular job. And I knew a prophet who had been ministering there by the name of Kent Simpson. So the Lord said, I want you to go to one of his meetings when you're there. So I went to a public meeting there, and he called me out of the audience and laid hands on me, prophesied to me that I was called to be a prophet. And it was interesting because when he laid hands on me, there was an impartation. I felt the gift go in. There was an impartation of prophetic gift. And from that time, I was, you know, able to give personal prophetic words pretty much on demand. And so I received an impartation, began traveling prophetic ministry in 93. It was called Restoration International Ministries. And so that's kind of what started it. And I started doing prophetic training seminars, which we still do today. And so that's pretty much, I was pretty much an itinerant prophetic guy for 20 plus years.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And you had a prophetic encounter back in March of 2011. Can you share with us about this encounter and how it actually led you to write this book, Prepare America, Hope for a Nation in Crisis?
Yes. So in March of 2011, I had gone to sleep and I was awakened abruptly at 1:23 in the morning. And I didn't really think anything about it until the next night. I woke up exactly the same time, woke up at 1:23. And God deals with me with numbers all the time. That's one way he deals with me in signs, with numbers. And so I knew 1:23 was significant. So I felt led to begin to look at all the 1, 2, 3 scriptures in the Bible. So chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, chapter 1, verse 23, chapter 12, verse 3, Psalm 1:23, and so on. And when I did that, I saw that there was a message to America in the 1, 2, 3 scriptures in the Bible. And really? So that was the foundation from which I began to develop the book. The two scriptures that really stood out the most was Mark chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, which says, "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Which mirrors Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5, which is the, basically my life scripture that he prophesied to me. And it's mirrored also in John chapter 1, verse 23. It says, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. So it was like double confirmation that this I was hearing from the Lord. And, right. And from there, I developed the book.
I never noticed that both those had 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow. In the book, they're all referenced that way. You can see they're all 1, 2, 3 scriptures in the book.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Now, you explain that judgment must start with the churches, the house of the Lord first. And your opinion, is that what we're seeing happening right now in America?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, I believe God's done this shaking that, and I'm going to probably reference a scripture later about, the shaking that's going on. And he's going to shake everything that can be shaken. And that which remains, of course, is the kingdom of heaven, which cannot be shaken. And so, God used shaking for judgment. But, we always look at judgment as being a bad thing, but it's not. Psalm 19 talks about the judgments of the Lord are pure and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold and much fine gold, sweeter than honey and honeycomb. And by the judgments of the Lord, your servant is warned. And in keeping the judgments of the Lord, there is a great reward. And so actually, when the Lord chastens us with his judgment, that's something to be desired more than gold, sweeter than honey. His judgments are sweet. Religion's taught us to run away from the judgments of God, that they're bitter, but it's really a lie, because we should desire the judgments of the Lord, because there's great reward in that, and we're being warned. And so I believe that God's using this time to shake the church. What I think we need to make a distinction about is that the thing that is coming, the COVID virus, whether, it's an earthquake or pestilence or whatever, that in essence, God's not sending it, because God doesn't have sickness and disease to give. He's a good God, right? But it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, and that God will use these things to turn us to Christ. There's a law of sin and death that's in operation. When people walk in sin, when the people of the earth walk in sin, they draw judgment to themselves. They draw death and destruction to themselves. So it's actually not God doing it. It's actually a spiritual law in operation. Of course, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin, sin and death. So as we operate in life and righteousness, we'll begin to exude that life and be immune, you know, from a lot of this stuff that's happening. You know, as the world's being shaken, the church of God can begin to arise and shine. But he is beginning with his church. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins first with us, what will happen to those who do not obey the gospel? So, you know, God is judging his church, but it's something to be embraced. And because, you know, the foundation of the church has been destroyed. It really has been. The Bible says that if Psalm 11:3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So God is, I believe, is restoring the foundations of the church. And that foundation is righteousness and justice. Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. And so even as the throne of God, the kingdom of God is founded on righteousness and justice, the house of God, God's house, the household of God, the body of Christ, the temple of the Lord is founded on righteousness and justice. And so it's interesting to know that Ephesians 2, verse 19 and 22 talks about the household of God and how it is founded. It says that you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So God's called us to be a house, a household of God. But it says that it's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we see in this passage of scripture that apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church, and that repentance must begin with the apostles and prophets. Why? Because prophets establish righteousness in the body of Christ through preaching repentance, and apostles establish justice in the church through righteous judgment. So if prophets aren't preaching repentance, they're not establishing the righteousness that's needed to build a holy temple in the Lord. Same thing with apostles. If apostles are not administrating justice, righteous justice in the church through judgment, then we're falling short of the biblical plan. So God is wanting to restore apostles and prophets to the foundation of the church through preaching repentance, administrating justice, so that we can build the household of God and a holy temple in the Lord upon a firm foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. Rob Winters is the president and co-founder of Prepare the Way International, a prophetic ministry whose mission is to turn the heart of America back to God. And in this day and in this hour in which this country currently finds itself, this message has never been more needful than right now. Rob wrote a book, Prepare America, Hope for a Nation in Crisis, a few years back, but he recently revised and updated the information, and it is so fitting for this day and this hour. You really need to get the information in this book. I encourage you right now, go down to the show notes, click the link, order your copy today. So, when we are basically going through an area where the entire church structure is about to be rebuilt. And really, if you're going through like a reconstruction effort, basically the old building is torn down. And then on that foundation, a new building is raised. Is that really what's about to take place here in America right now?
Yeah, I do believe that's going to happen. To what degree, I don't know, but so many churches have been built on other and something other than righteousness and justice. I mean, yeah. I hate to say that, but
I know.
We've got a hyper grace message out there that's basically, been a doctrine that has disqualified so many people. They've been disqualified from walking in the anointing, the power of God, the fullness of God, because it's basically given a license to sin. And so here's the deal. Holiness is part of that foundation as well. You know, if you look, I think it's first or second Timothy. It says that the foundation of the Lord's house has a seal upon it. And the seal says, let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's actually on the seal of the foundation of the temple of the Lord, of the body of Christ. And so to be able to depart from iniquity, you've got to walk in the holiness and the fear of the Lord. And see, these are messages that have not been preached exclusively, especially in a lot of the seeker-friendly churches. And I'm not speaking against what the structure that they're building, because I do believe that many have been saved in these types of churches.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, but we've got to go to the next level. We got to get people just merely being saved to being disciples. So holiness and the fear of the Lord has to be preached again, because the Bible says that we are to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the spirit and flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so if there's no fear of God, the fear of the Lord's not being preached. Repentance is not being preached. We're not being perfected in holiness. And that is required for the foundation and the house of God to be built. Because if you look at Ephesians chapter 2:19, it says that we're strangers and foreigners, but we become fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. So we become members of the household of God through repentance that leads to salvation. But he doesn't leave us there. He says that we have to build the temple on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. He says, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So we start off as a household of God, a family of God, but we're supposed to grow up into a holy temple in the Lord. You can't become a holy temple in the Lord if you don't have a foundation of righteousness and justice that produces the holiness for God to inhabit the holy temple with the glory of God. And so that's what's missing from so many of the households of God. Like I said, we start off as a household. God bless these large churches. They're preaching the grace of God, but yet they're not preaching against the sin and allowing the spirit of judgment and burning to permeate their congregations so that they become a holy temple in the Lord so God can pour out his glory. And so I think that's where we're missing. We've got to take it to the next level. And so I believe that a lot of these churches in these time of shaking, I feel like that there will be people in those churches say, hey, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this, because this will only take me so far. But in a time of crisis, I'm finding my faith is being shaken, you know. And so I think they're going to be looking for the fullness of the gospel of Christ that will make them a disciple and cause them to be a soldier of the Lord and be armed to the teeth with the word of God upon their lips and the power of God in their hands, so that they actually can become a disciple to change things that impact on the world around them.
Yeah, because this should be, in a time of like we're living in right now, this should be a time where the churches step up. And it should actually be like a time of refreshing for the church, you know, to bring that fresh breath of the Holy Spirit in to give hope to the people who are looking to the church for help.
Right, exactly. And God does want to bring this refreshing. He does want to bring the awakening. He does want to bring revival to the church. But what we fail to recognize is that times of repentance must precede times of refreshing. Even Peter in his discourse in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19, says this. He says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So we see in this passage that repentance is a requirement for times of refreshing to come. You know, what's interesting to me is that people shy away from repentance, but if you look in the New Testament, that John the Baptist and Jesus both started their ministries with these words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so my thoughts are, if it's good enough for John the Baptist, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And I believe that we've got to use repentance as a cornerstone for our messages so that the kingdom of heaven can draw near. So all the blessings, the refreshing of the kingdom, healing that's in the kingdom, blessing and abundance that's in the kingdom, deliverance that's in the kingdom, revelation that's all part of the kingdom of God can come, but it's got to be cornerstoned with the message of repentance.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And, you know, we hear a lot of preachers talking about, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, repent and all that. Is that Is this what's happening? You know, the Lord is calling on believers to repent for our national sins, or is this something else entirely?
No, I believe it. It's got to begin in the church, and but it's got to also touch our nation too. And of course, you know, that's a passage of scripture. It's really been the banner scripture over America for the last 40 years. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I almost feel like people turn a deaf ear to it.
Yeah.
But if you look to the precursor of that passage in verse 13, it says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Now, I do want to make a distinction here that God doesn't have pestilence to give. You know, he doesn't want to devour our land. He doesn't want to shut up. He's not the one that brings a drought. He's not the one who does that. But when we don't obey the Lord and we walk contrary to his commandments, we become devil's bait. And again, we draw judgment to ourselves. We draw the death that that brings when we're not serving the Lord. You know, the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, if that's true, then the reverse is true. Cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord. Yeah. And so when we, like you mentioned earlier, we take prayer out of schools. We take the Bible out of school. We don't acknowledge our nation as being one nation under God. We set ourselves up. The protective hand of God, the covering of God is removed, and we become devil's bait. And that's what's happened. And so when the pestilences come, he says in verse 14, if my people who are called by my name, he tells us to do four things. Number one, humble ourselves, pray, seek my face. Number four, turn from our wicked ways. He said, then he'll do three things. He'll hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode, where I've been interviewing Pastor Rob Winters about his timely release of a revised edition of the book, Prepare America, Hope for a Nation in Crisis. If there was ever a need for this type of book, it is today. We in America, and for that matter around the world, truly are at a crossroads. Everything we see going on around us has already been outlined in the Bible. Everything. And that is shaking the very foundations of this nation, the principles of this nation that we were founded on. The freedom and the liberty we as Americans have enjoyed, all of it, is in the crosshairs of a group of people whose sole purpose is to destroy America from within. And if you've been paying attention to the social justice and the political correctness and now the abrupt disruption and cancellation of civil liberties guaranteed to us in the Constitution, well, there can be no doubt about the day and hour in which we live. Rob has done a tremendous work in this book. He lays it all out, and the most needful thing he emphasizes is the nation has left its first love, Jesus. And if we are to have any opportunity to retain our freedom, it has to be through him. I encourage you to go down to the show notes and order his book right now while you're thinking about it. The devil and the political activists who are Satan's disciples and following his lead will love nothing more than for you just to put it off till later. You know as well as I do that most people just forget about it. So go down to the show notes right now, order your copy today. I've got my copy. Have you ordered yours? Be sure to come back tomorrow as we conclude this very important interview with Rob Winters. Until then, this is Pastor Bob saying, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org.
Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.